This is Darren Kuhn with the Masculine Journey podcast, where we search the ancient paths to find ways that God brings light into a dark world and helps set men free from the struggles that we all face on a day-to-day basis. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian nightmare, Nikita Kolov.
Now, the devil's nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up.
Hey, what a joy and an honor and a privilege to have back in the studio with me. If you listened to part one with this man, national champion, Clemson Tigers, Perry Tuttle, we left a cliffhanger. We left off at part one with a cliffhanger. And Perry, welcome back to the Man Up Show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, again. So great, man. There's so much to your story. You know, just at the tail end, of course, you were talking about, you were mentioning names that you played with, you know, of course, in the NFL and back even in your college days. And I'm sure there's many more stories that you could share, even some of the experiences with the NFL, the CFL, the Hula Bowl you were talking about. Yeah. We were just starting to talk about some of your books that you've written, and we ran out of time. But we're going to pick up where we left off. You were talking about being in a golf tournament, and you're like the only black guy on the team, and like all these white guys didn't really know how to really address you or how to really,
well, they didn't know whether to say African American or black,
what do we say?
You know, and maybe I shouldn't have laughed at him, but it is funny.
No, you should have.
Because white folks are funny when they're awkward.
So I said
to this guy who I didn't know, I knew my buddy, and I said, hey, what is it that you guys really want to know about black people?
Just ask me, right?
And you can ask me all the questions that you've always wanted to ask, and I'm gonna do my best to answer them, right? And so they asked some of the questions. All black men fast, and I mean, did all black folks vote for Barack Obama? I mean, just, whatever, right?
Probably some good questions, but probably some stupid questions.
Why is our funeral so long, right? I'm like, is that a... I mean, it was just crazy.
Church service. I've been in a few black churches. Why are the church services so long?
And one of the things that happened was I had to speak in San Diego the following week. And so I was there for 3 days. The first day I spoke, second day I had a kind of a day off, then the third day I was going to have, and then I was going to fly back to the East Coast. But the second day I was there, I walked up, it was a Starbucks right beside my hotel. And so I walked up to this white couple and I said, hey, excuse me, my name is Perry Tuttle. I live on the East Coast. Hey, I'm doing a project. What white people want to know about black people, just too afraid to ask. I mean, they thought they were on candid camera, right? I mean, it was like, and they said, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I'm going to be in the corner. I know this is kind of awkward, but if you have any question, then come and ask.
Yeah.
So about 15, 20 minutes later, they came over and go, are you serious? I said, yeah, give me a question, right?
Yeah.
And so they asked a question, and so what I did was for wherever I was going, I would just walk up to friendly white people and say, hey, that question. So I wrote this book. The title of it is What White People Want to Know About Black People, Just Too Afraid to Ask.
Right? Come on, great title.
That book took me around the country.
Come on.
I was amazed.
Yeah.
I was on over 100 radio and TV shows in 1 year.
Wow.
I was on radio shows from my bedroom, from the phone, and it was just interesting. And I just found out just how sensitive and divisive, and so there was two guys that have their own radio show. Is John Boy and Billy. I don't know if you've ever heard of those.
Been on their show.
You've been on their show?
Back in the wrestling days.
Yeah.
They were big wrestling fans. So,
okay. So, so my, so I self-published this book. No big deal. And one of my buddies took that book and gave it to Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me. He says, "Hey, I read your book. Can you come on the show?" I'm like, "Sure." I didn't know anything about them.
Yep, big show.
Right.
Yep.
And to my surprise, I didn't know they were syndicated in like 30 states or whatever.
Right.
And that book took me around. I mean, the thing sold like crazy. It's the only book that Barnes & Noble put in their stores, self-published at the time.
Right? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And so so I made quite a bit of money.
Right? Yep. Thank you, Lord.
But the thing is that it was interesting. And so so I'm working on my last book. So one of the books that it's a little booklet that I wrote. I have three daughters and three sons, but my daughters, I was dating my three daughters and, 7 years old, and when they turned eight, nine, whatever. And so we just date.
Dad's
so
daughter dates.
So my daughter turned 18 years old, and it's going to be our last date.
Mm.
And so I gave her like 3 or 4 days, and I said, "Hey, you have to ask me 15 questions on our last date. You can ask me about my faith. You can ask me about sports. You can ask me about boys. You can ask me about church. You can ask me about Jesus. You can ask me about anything, but you have to ask me 15 questions on our last date." I thought it would just be fun.
Yeah, right.
Her first question was, we got to the restaurant. Her first question was, "Dad, who was your first kiss?"
Okay.
And I'm like, "Really?" I was 10 years old. So we were at this, I was telling the story where we had this bus stop, right? And my buddies, we was 10, and two of my buddies dared me to ask this girl, Sharon. I won't give her a last name because she still lives in Winston-Salem. she was like a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And so she was.
And you were 10.
I was 10.
And she was a junior in high school.
And that's when when your buddies dare you to do something.
Right.
That's
right.
When a dare really meant something, right?
Yeah.
So they said, "Hey, we dare you to ask Sharon to kiss." And we were at a bus stop.
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay." So I walked up to her, and she looked like she was 6'9", but she was probably 5'10", whatever.
Right, right.
And I walked up to her, and I'm telling this to my daughter, and I walked up to Sharon, and I said, "Sharon, will you kiss me?" And Sharon kissed me on the lips. It was the best day of my life, right? To this day, it was the best day of my life.
As a 10-year-old.
Right, as a 10-year-old. But here's a crazy thing. So... that date lasted 4 hours.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And it was incredible. Well, my son, who went to Chapel Hill, came home from spring break. And my oldest son, and I said, "Hey, let's have boys' night out. But you have to ask me 15 questions.
Come on.
And his question was a lot harder. He's a very smart, a very kind. But his first question was, "Dad, how do you really feel about President Obama?" And that boys' night out lasted a little over 4 hours.
Wow.
And we had a chance. And here's his second question. His second question was, "Who is the person you most afraid of growing up?" And I didn't know that, I didn't know that my son was bullied.
Mm.
Right? And the thing is, so I wrote this little pamphlet, "Dad, I want to know you, because I found out that my children didn't know me. They knew me as a dad, but they didn't really know me," right?
Come on.
In this little book called "Dad, I Want to Know You." Then, and because my mom was 84 years old at the time, I wrote the same kind of question. I just catered to my 84-year-old mom. "Mom, I want to know you." And instead of my mom writing in that, the answers in that book, she wrote in her pet tablet 29 pages to all of those questions. And I found out I didn't know my mom. Mm. And so you go from the first book I wrote, From the House of Jesse, to What White People Want to Know About Black People, then, mm-hmm. and then Dad, I want to know you. Mom, I want to know you. My last book is going to be Humanity Blind Spots. Aren't we living in a day where there's just so much blind spots?
Right.
Ain't?
Right.
And so anyway, that's where I am. And
well, you said your last book, you used those words. I'm going to say your next book.
My next book. Yeah.
Not your last. I'm going to say your next one. And man, just phenomenal. Wow. That kind of reminds me of my dad. I knew he was getting close to passing on, you know, and it was it was my last Father's Day with him. And I wasn't thinking about, I don't really know him. Now, I said I didn't grow up with him, but the Lord would about 45 or so years later, give me a restoration of a relationship with him that I had not ever had up to that point. And so we spent the last 9-10 years of his life, a lot of time, kind of a father-son relationship. But that last Father's Day, and I saw it online or something somewhere, it's like 10 questions to ask your dad or something, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And Perry, it was kind of like what you're describing right now with those books. It was like he opened up about World War II, he's part of liberating a concentration camp.
Wow.
In World War II.
That's incredible.
It was, and I went home and told my sister, I was staying with her, and all the, hey, look, let me share with you what Dad, and she's like, how'd you get him to talk about any of that?
Yeah,
I'm like, I just asked him.
Yeah.
You know, but he was willing to, and he even went back, but now he's 92 years old at this point, and he went back to like his like third grade or fourth grade teacher or something that he remembered.
Same with my dad. I asked my dad, I said, hey, can we just talk? And I said, as far as you can go back, tell me your story. I want to know your story.
Mm-hmm.
On that Wednesday, when I knelt down for the first time on behalf of my soul, like, God, would you help me? I was playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I prayed for the very first time for me. Like, God, can you help? And I remember getting up and I called my mom and I said, hey, Mom, I just want you to know I prayed tonight. And she started crying. Mm. And she says, babe, she always called me babe.
Mm-hmm.
She said, babe, when the season's over, I want you to come home. But I want you to start praying for your dad. I'm like, Mom, don't spoil this day for me. right?
Yeah.
And so I came home during the off season. And my mom and I started praying for my dad. All he was just getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short is that 8 years before my dad died, he made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Started treating my mom like this queen. And I don't know if I've ever loved a man like I love my dad the last 8 years. And just incredible turnaround. He never went to any meetings. He just stopped cold turkey, and I saw the best of him. But we didn't know he was going to die. He had heart failure. But 2 months before he died, there was this burning question I've always been asked. I was in New York, and I flew into Greensboro, got a rental car, drove the Winston-Salem, and I was dying to ask these three questions. You know, for years I wanted to ask these three questions. And so my dad was watching his favorite TV show, Gunsmoke. I don't know if you ever watched Gunsmoke.
Yeah. But I'm old enough to remember.
Yeah, yep. So we were watching. He was watching Gunsmoke, and it's the house that I bought. So the best thing ever, the thing that I wanted to do more than anything when I was a kid was to buy my mom a home.
Yeah.
And so when the Buffalo Bills made me the first-round draft pick, the first thing I did was buy my mom a home.
Yeah.
And my dad came, right? Mm-hmm. And because my dad you know, I thought my dad was a racist, right? He did not like white people at all. He didn't seem. And so I bought this house in an all-white neighborhood, right? Didn't think he would show up, but he showed up.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my gosh, Perry. That's awesome.
But a couple of months before he died, my dad, I went to my dad and I said, hey, Dad, can I ask you a question? He was like, son, I'm watching Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
So I turned off the TV. I said, Dad, do you love me? And he looked at me. He's like, son, I love all my children. I'm like, no, Dad. I'm not talking about Wayne and Brenda and Eddie and Jack and Quella and Joe. I'm talking about me. You know, I have six children. I have never heard you ever in my life say, I love you. Dad, do you love me? Really?
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement. Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
And it dawned on him that he had never told any of his children that he loved them. And we kind of knew it, but we never heard him say it.
Right, verbalize it.
And so tears are running down his face. It dawned on him that he never said it. So tears were running. He's like, I love you, son. I said, are you proud of me? Here I am, you know, All-American, Sports Illustrated, first-round draft pick. Now I'm an author, and I'm speaking all over the place. And, you know, wonderful children, wonderful family. Are you proud of me? And he says, I'm proud of you. I mean, it was a heavy day for him.
Right.
And I said, Dad, here's my last question. Would you go tell somebody? Anybody. So instead of going to my mom, who was upstairs, we were the only ones that was in the house. My mom and I stood on the front porch of this house that we bought, that I bought them, in this all-white neighborhood.
That's amazing.
And we watched my dad walk across the road, across the street. It's a country road.
Yeah.
And knocked on our neighbor's door. Says, hey, my name is Sam. And I live, and the person's like, you know, my dad goes, hey, hello, you know, and came to the door, and he's like, hey, my name is Sam Tuttle. I live across the street. And Mr. Charter's like, yeah, I know. I've been waving at you for 17 years, right?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I heard my dad ask for forgiveness of his attitude. And then I heard my dad tell his neighbor, I want you to know about my son Perry, and how much I love him, and how proud I was. And he just walked back, right? And it was, you know, and you know, I tell this to fathers: every father should at least take time and tell their children three things.
Yeah,
right. I love you. I'm proud of you. Let me go tell somebody.
And, good Perry.
And my dad finished well, you know, when everybody else, when I see men now who are older limping over the finish line, I want my dad to finish breaking the tape.
Right.
It's like strong. Paul finish is saying strong. To Timothy that I've run the race.
Right.
Finish strong. Tell all your children how much you love, and tell all your children how proud. And my dad had a chance to do it.
Was he born? I'm trying to do a timeline. Was he born in like the 1920s?
Oh, yeah, 30s, yeah.
Okay, 32, okay. Mm-hmm. My dad was born in 1924. And so, there's a lot of relatability in our stories, Perry, because my dad was 84. I did a whole show, thanks to our wonderful director, Robbie Dillmore, encouraging me to do a whole show just on my relationship with my dad and the reconciliation. He was 84 the first time those words ever came out of his mouth, I love you, son, because the Lord put it on my heart, began to reach out to him. It took a period of several months of me saying, I love you, Dad, love you, Dad, love you, Dad, love you, Dad, to him finally on his 84th birthday to reciprocate an I love you, son. And then Perry, the very last words out of his mouth I was with him the night just before his passing in his room. Got himself up out of his lazy boy chair to give me a hug. He didn't even know how to hug when I first started hugging him.
Wow.
And the last words, I said, "I'll see you tomorrow, Dad." And the last words out of his mouth were, "I love you, son."
Wow.
I love you. Last words out of his mouth
were,
"I love you, son." But
every son should hear that.
Well, yeah. And Perry, I do a lot of men's ministry, right?
Yeah, right.
And you know, these camps, these men's camps and conferences and different things. And to your point, I can't tell you how many men, I mean, I'm talking not just dozens of stories, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories I've heard over 16 years of facilitating men's ministry,
right?
Of men who just want to hear what you just said. Son, I'm proud of you. Son, yeah. I love you.
Yeah, that's right.
Who've never heard that or never received that, right?
Yeah.
Or even a one step further, a father's blessing.
That's right.
Right? You know, an old Hebrew tradition, an old Jewish tradition of a father speaking over or blessing his children. But
if God the Father thought it was important that his son Jesus hear those words,
right?
My beloved son, who I am
well pleased.
I'm proud of you.
Right.
And he kind of looks around at the disciples and says, y'all better listen to him because he's really good, right? But the thing is, if God the Father really believes that the Son of God needs to hear those words, who do we think we are?
How much more do we not need to hear it, right?
Man, woman, or child. That's
right?
Exactly right.
And Robbie in studio here with us. Robbie, you got a burning question that you want to ask him.
No, actually, I was just... I almost chimed in just to say, Jesus needed to hear that too, clearly. And God gave it to him twice.
Yeah.
He gave it to him at his baptism, and he gave it to him again on the Transfiguration, right?
I'm convinced that I spend most of my time with pro athletes. I've been working with NBA players for the last 15 years with the Hornets, and so I get the visiting team. I work with the NFL players and alumni. I talk with the coaches, and I am convinced that there is such a father wound,
yes,
in our society,
right?
So goes the wound of being healed by the voice of a dad or touched by a dad. So goes our society. And I think if we get right, I'm not talking about marriage, and I'm not talking about finances, and I'm not talking about the Democrats and the Republican. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about as soon as father's voice,
right,
says, I love you and I'm proud of you, it will be a game changer for our whole country.
That's good. I agree. I totally agree. So let me ask you, for sure, I mean, before we run out of time, let me ask you, so all those books you mentioned, Perry, I mean, Amazon, I mean, can people still get copies of all those books?
Well,
some of those books?
Some of the books, but I've taken most of them off. I'm not a social media guy, and especially the black and white, the race book. It's that I'm tired of talking about black people and white people.
I know.
Because we're so sensitive, but I'm having to regroup and I want to finish the race well. And so there's a number of things of getting books squared away. I started my own 501c just recently.
Okay.
It's called Freeze Tag. You ever play that game called Freeze Tag? Get about five or six buddies on two teams.
Yep.
If you ever get tagged, you had to stand still until someone come and
freeze you up.
Right?
Yep.
Freeze you up.
Yep.
Well, there are 21 million black males in the United States. And if there's one frozen population that needs to be unfrozen, it's young black males.
Mm.
And so we started this... this organization called Freeze Tag, and we're gonna go after the first 12, the top performers, and we're gonna spend the next 3 to 5 years going after the top performers of the top 12, so that those 12 can influence 21 million in politics, in law, in music, in film, in sports, and in education. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go after the top performers. and we're going to will in it. So I got to raise a lot of money to go after them so that they can influence, because I'm just telling you, so goes young African-American males.
Yeah. Okay.
So goes our society.
Well, I want to, you're out there listening to Perry Tuttle's story, and I hope you caught part one. I'm certain that's probably why you're here listening to part two. It's such a fascinating story. I told you we could do 3, 4, 5 shows with him. Just going to have you back sometime, Perry.
I'd love to.
And so corporate speaking, the books and all that, man, what you've shared in the last two shows is going to impact a lot of people's lives, and we're going to be praying for you. I encourage you pray for Perry Tuttle and what sounds maybe like a daunting vision, but through prayer and support. How could people get in, before we get lose time? How could people,
people
get
can,
in touch
yeah.
with you? You have an email address?
Yeah, the email address is perry.tuttle@yahoo.com.
Okay.
You know, and it's easy. You know, just like you and Robbie and everybody else, the pandemic has really played had an impact on me and people around me. And one of the things I've learned through this whole experience, and this is this, following Jesus doesn't make your life better. Following Jesus makes you better at life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wind will blow and the wind will come.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the just and the unjust. And what makes us different as a follower of Christ, yes, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes, we understand the power of resurrection and God and the power of prayer, but it makes living life different.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
And so those are the things that I've learned, and those are the things that's exciting about being a follower of Christ.
Well, you've learned a lot and you've shared a lot, and I want to again just encourage you, keep Perry Tuttle in your prayers as the Lord opens many doors for him, and whether it's writing books or speaking on a corporate platform or conferences or wherever the Lord leads, guides and directs him, and the impact that your mom had on you, the impact you've had on your own children, putting the scripture in your shoe every day. So can't thank you enough, Perry, for
coming in the studio and being on the show. I love you, bro.
I love you, Perry, man. I love your heart. And for the first time I've met you, man, it's been great building a relationship with you. And tune in for another great episode of Man Up. And Perry Tuttle, national champion, NFL, CFL, football all-star. God bless you. Thanks for being here with us today.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today. Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com, because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.